Money in markets, US dollar index now up for the year. We are, I think the chances of a US dollar bear trap rally could still happen. We have commentators now suddenly publishing and promoting that concept, but it could as the money repatriates back and interest rates rise. The long treasury now down 5.46% for the year, the intermediate down 3.3%, the bond aggregate down 2.35%, and junk down 0.68%, but really not suffering from the credit quality vis-a-vis something like the bond aggregate. Equities are doing a little bit stronger. The S&P now up 2.34% for the year. Home builders still down. They're down 10.5%. The European VGK ETF up 2.16%. Germany now up 0.5%. The developed markets minus North America up 1.81%, so a little bit behind the S&P. And China up, the large caps up 4%, small caps still doing the best at 6.83%. And then emerging markets up 0.75%. Commodities strong, up 5.5% on the overall index. Gold's up 1.24%. Silver's still down at 1.56%, so it's improved, but it's still down. And then the star performers, oil now up 16.36%. Part of that has been, or there's been a lot of contribution from the cancellation, the Iran deal. It was oil looked like it was touching 70. With traders waiting for the Iran deal to come out. Of course, the interesting thing is that's putting money in Russia's pockets, not necessarily the administration's goal. Now, if you step back, the two prices that affect everybody and everything throughout any financial ecosystem is energy prices and interest rates. And we have rising energy prices and rising interest rates. It's a major double squeeze. It's rippling throughout the economy. It's very, it's amazing how quiet it is. And as I said, it could set off a bear trap US dollar rally with all the money being repatriated back. It's going to make it harder and harder to get dollars. And it's interesting, if you look at the squeeze, America's demanding that China cut the trade deficit. The trade negotiations broke up last week. And there's plenty of tension around that, but how's China supposed to earn the dollars they need to pay all their dollar debt if they have to cut their trade deficit by $200 billion? So the U.S. is clearly trying to play that bear trap if they can set it up. Well, of course, the major story this week is the Iran deal, and the Iran deal is really about the balance of power with China. I talked a great deal about this with Saker, and I recommend you listen to the interview. I don't want to repeat the whole conversation here. The reality is that you have significant transactions between China and Iran. China is Iran's biggest trading partner at this point. So you have oil and energy deals, and then, of course, you have Iran's strategic position on the Silk Road. Dollar leakage as a result of what's happening with oil and energy with China is a very serious issue here. The other serious issue is Israel's concern that it maintain nuclear hegemony in the Middle East. And Israel, it's for some reason it's always bad if everybody has nuclear weapons, except Israel has a major nuclear arsenal. And of course, that's okie dokie. A lot of what we've been seeing from Israel during the Trump administration and with what's happening in Gaza, I think, is designed to ultimately destroy the Israeli brand and welcome just about everywhere in the world. But until that happens, they're going to continue to insist on protecting the position of their weaponry and nuclear weaponry in the whole Eurasian continent. The reality is, if you look at what is up with Russia, China, and the Silk Road and the power of those economics, how this happens, of course, can only happen with the United States. So I had a great discussion with Saker about the U.S. strategy, what I call the innovation strategy, and it depends on the dollar And the ability of the dollar to buy friends and basically spend as much as they need to drive anyone who's not playing ball in the model, including Russia and Iran, into the ground economically. Now, it's interesting, if you read the latest writings from the neocons, same as all along, they have tremendous faith in their ability to continue to double down on the innovation strategy until it works. If you listen to Saker, he can't fathom that it can work or that you can have an empire that can basically ignore the facts and law on a perpetual basis just because it controls the reserve currency and has a lot of weaponry. So that's really the issue. And I think that a great deal of this, well, let me step back. If you go through history, the history of economic and military history, my reading is that power wins. In other words, the innovation strategy has historically been successful. The question of whether it's going to win this time or not, as I've said many times, I think comes down to how good the superiority of the U.S. and its related syndicates, and I would include the Anglo-American Alliance as that syndicate. It's going to come down to what is the superiority of their invisible weaponry, and of course, what that means is what is the superiority of their space weaponry, and what is really happening off-planet, whether it's human or non-human, and how does that fit in? I had a great discussion with Richard at dinner on Wednesday night, and he looked at me and he said, if what you're saying is true about space weapons and the U.S. is dominant, then the U.S. could win. And I said, yes, that's the case. I think it's one of the reasons you see the president continue to talk about the Space Force. So it's invisible in space technology is a very important weapon variable in what is happening here, and what is going on in space is very important. It's one of the reasons I continue to try and create a framework for the economics of space, and that includes some very frank discussion of who and what we're really dealing with in space. And that's why I hope I can get some of these presentations from Richard up on the subscriber only space as a special report next week, because I think they'll really help. The first quarter wrap up, the web presentation is done. We're in the process of creating the PDF. We should have that for you in a week or two. And then the hard copy in the first week of June. And I think the space-based economy presentation will also help you get your mind around these issues and see the explosive growth that's happening in space. In the meantime, while the Middle East hegemony war sort of explodes on, we see the same thing in the South China Sea. The innovation strategy absolutely requires being the reserve currency. And now being the reserve currency means dominance in both the satellite lanes and the sea lanes still. A new article from Asian Times that I posted about the new developments. Let me just read. Tensions in the South China Sea are on the boil again amid new reports that China has deployed advanced missiles to land features in the disputed maritime area. According to new reports, China has installed several surface-to-air missiles and anti-cruise ballistic missile systems across the Paracel and Spratly Island chains. It goes on and on. Again, if China succeeds in dominating and controlling the sea lanes in the South China Sea, I think that is a very significant death knell for the U.S. dollar as reserve currency. It was one of the reasons that the Obama administration cut the Iran deal so they could pivot to the and focus on Asia. And as I've said before, I think a lot of the electronic jamming and problem with the naval ships is a covert war happening between China and the United States. So how the Trump administration plans to cancel the Iran deal and still maintain their hegemony in the South China Sea remains to be seen. But keep an eye on that, because both spots are important. And if I'm right, continue to underscore the power and importance of the U.S. dependency on space weaponry, and not just the U.S., the whole Anglo-American alliance. There is absolutely in the United States a move on small business. and this is going to come in many different directions. And what you're seeing is the application of artificial intelligence, surveillance systems, and software to basically scarf up market share and make more money out of the expense budget. Either way, it's a squeeze, particularly when you combine the rising energy prices and rising interest rates. Now, if you're a small business or a professional or an individual proprietor, it's absolutely imperative to me that you see how this is coming and how it works, because I think if you see it, you can outwit it. And I think outwitting it is essential because it's really going to squeeze the economics of small business. My other company just received in March an audit from the Tennessee Securities Division. I would note that AT&T is a large IT provider. What a coincidence. Anyway, the last third of the questions on that audit, and I've heard of it from other audits of other companies. The last third of the questions are on cybersecurity. The SEC has made a big deal about cybersecurity, and we have lots of firms in Silicon Valley making cybersecurity software. Anyway, I sat down with my assistant and reviewed the audit when it first came in March, and they had their AT&T iPhone with them. Unfortunately, that's the only, at that time, was the only reception in Hickory Valley. And I forgot to tell them to go put the phone in the car. But then, of course, my internet was up, and our phones are from a small local phone system, but they do go out over AT&T, AT&T wire. So I literally went through the cybersecurity questions and immediately started to receive by email software proposals from cybersecurity software makers who specialize in investment advisors. You know, it was basically within the next 30 minutes. And was it a coincidence? I doubt it. So you make your guess as to how suddenly I got blessed with all those different proposals, but it reminded me of the old W.C. Fields that he likes to drink snake potion, snake oil potion, which he does regularly. You know, he needs it as a result of the snake he also carries. It's a squeeze play. And if you look at what, now I'm closing my individual advisory business, so there won't be a reason to load cybersecurity software is what I presume. But if you look at the cost of loading cybersecurity and the software and the access that it gives these firms, it looks to me like a frightening proposition. I've seen several other audits, regulatory or tax audits, and it looks to me like more and more people are taking, digitizing everything, throwing all the documents and materials into software programs that AI uses to generate opportunities for enforcement action, civil money penalties, or sell more invasive software. And it's the business equivalent of speed traps. In other words, a small business or a proprietor is subject to far more rules and regulations than any human can possibly fathom. And then the software is designed to get you for not being perfect, even though you could be damn near perfect. And of course, they just get you for not being perfect. Now, it's a game, sort of a Sheriff of Nottingham game that I played when I worked in Washington and ran Hamilton Securities. But it's a lot of shadow work, and it's very toxic. And it's one of the reasons I tell you that it's very, very important to take the regulation that you are subject to and the tax laws that you are subject to and take them very seriously, get your paperwork right. And when one of these things come in, you know, take a deep breath, put on your big boy pants and pay attention and handle it properly, because this is the Sheriff of Nottingham business is on the rise in America. And it's, whether it happens to you is very particular to your state and local government. This is a place where pushing back against state legislators and making it clear to your representatives that the federal government, the state governments, or local government make money by playing gotcha and Sheriff of Nottingham with citizens is not the way to build a productive economy, let alone make America great again. Some of what's going on is projective identification. If you can attack the general population for quote unquote corruption before they attack you, then you're in the catbird seat, especially if you've got them very, very busy. So if you accuse Catherine of not passing an audit, she can't accuse the Department of Defense of not passing an audit. It's called projective identification. They attack you for doing what they in fact are doing. So last year I put up book reviews, and I think they're also in the best books for 2018 in the wrap up, recommendations to read Weapons of Mass Destruction. By Kathy O'Neill. It was a great book review by Court Skinner, and then a review of Master Switch by Tim Wu. I think both of those books can be helpful. Also, just be aware the Supreme Court is debating and Congress is debating internet sales tax. And if internet sales tax come down, they could have a very dramatic effect, but take the enforcement again very deadly serious. Great comments from all the subscribers here in Uluru. One subscriber reminded me of the story of Vodafone and their consortium of companies winning the contract to provide a 4G network on the moon. The press release is up on the Vodafone website, February 2018. Let me just read you some. And I think Dr. Farrell may have pointed this out in one of our recent conversations. Vodafone and to create first 4G network on moon. The moon will get 4G coverage next year, 50 years after the first NASA astronauts walked on its surface. Vodafone plans to create the first 4G network on the moon to support a mission by PT scientists in 2019. And it goes on about some of the partnerships. Mission to the moon is due to launch in 2019 from Cape Canaveral on SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. A Vodafone's network expertise will be used to set up the moon's first 4G network connecting two Audi Lunar Quattro rovers to a base station, the Autonomous Landing and Navigation Module. My old friend Bell Labs is involved. And it goes on and on and on. I bring this up because it gives you a sense of how quickly things are moving. Remember, if I'm right about the $50 trillion, there's been a lot more going on under the carpet since the Kennedy assassination in this respect, which means that once the infrastructure starts to pop up and go public, it has the capacity to do so in a pretty dazzling way. And I think we need to be prepared for that possibility. So take a look at this. It'll be in the notes for Money and Markets. And just remember, it's going really fast. Swamp drama. One of the things you realize if you're sitting in the middle of the Australian outback, how many emails I get about the Mueller, Trump, and Washington swamp dramas. In fact, if you look at some of the latest, it's quite remarkable. The Department of Justice has refused to publish the Mueller scope and authority. And it's so bizarre. You can't imagine that a public official would spend this much effort torturing a president without making the legal basis and scope and authorities clear. It's just, you just don't even know what to say about it. Even more amazing is that after the 2016-11 Cohen's, Trump's private attorney, Michael Cohen, received millions of dollars in payments from corporations, including AT&T, asking for advice on what makes Trump tick. Now, if you look at the money coming into the same entity that's paying Stormy Daniels, and if you look at the role of AT&T in our society, you look at that and you roll your eyes. It certainly doesn't pass the sniff test. But the reality is that doesn't make it illegal. So, there's a lot going on in the swamp drama, and the reality is you could lose full time following it. It's extremely toxic. If you step back and look at the whole thing, it does sort of look like the neocons are trying to do to Trump what they did to Clinton, and that's what makes me nervous about it. If you look at what they got out of Clinton by cornering him with the impeachment, of course, they got Glass-Steagall torn up and the financial coup started. So I don't, you know, I hate to see a president get cornered in this way, and the next thing you know, we're making Israel great again, not America. So I think these kinds of situations translate into policy that can be very counter to U.S. interests. And of course, I think it's contributing to enormous political toxicity in the United States. The a couple of headlines about the blue wave not working. We have blackmail support for Trump doubling after you see a variety of different black celebrities and commentators start questioning the Democratic Party line. And frankly, I'm very glad to see it, because if you look at the extent, and it was truly bipartisan, so I don't want to blame it on the Democrats, but if you look at the Democrats' role in building slave labor camps with more than 2 million people in it and costing the American people an absolute fortune, and a lot of the people rounded up and harmed were African American. So if you look at the Democrats' role, I think it's time for the African community, African American community, to stand up and stop, you know, stop playing along with the game. It's part of breaking out of the official reality into reality and getting something done. If you look at the Democrats' performance in the primaries around the country, they did much less well than was expected, and their polling in the House ballot is failing. Now, inside of all of that, we're seeing a lot of turnover, whether it's Republican or Democrats. I think the toxicity in the environment is driving a lot of people out who can take their money and run and don't want to be assassinated. So the squeeze, whether it's the energy squeeze, the interest rate squeeze, or the challenge of keeping the red button from getting pushed in this environment, is very difficult. I want to give a shout out to the Bill King and the King Report. He had a lot of great coverage on the swamp drama that saved me a great deal of time. One of the things very frightening is the Treasury Inspector General is now launching a probe into possible leaking of Cohen's banking records. And the question is the leaker Mueller? Is it FinCEN? Is it the U.S. attorney? Whoever it is, it's very, very serious. Especially when you have all sorts of regulatory process trying to get even more private data collected into governments and into cybersecurity software firms. So we build an internet software system that's not secure, and then we say we need to solve it by having more software that gives us more access to your data, and around we go. And, you know, there's sitting in the Australian outbacks, all you can think is let's just delete the bunch of you. Who needs you? A lot of questions on weird weather. We had the volcano activity in Hawaii, earthquake in LA. I've not looked into it yet and just don't have a comment. You know, clearly geophysical weather is a very important topic. And the question is some of the behavior we're getting from the leadership, their concerns about what is happening to geophysical and we have a number of very, very smart subscribers who are concerned about an ice age, but it's not something I have an opinion on yet.